Okay, folks, how about we start it? It is at 7:45, and it is Wednesday, October 5th. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee, and we are meeting jointly with the Public Safety and Transportation Committee on our first item. I'll start by introducing the members of Public Facilities. On my left is Susan Albright, counselor from Ward 2, Mark Laredo, counselor from Ward 7, Barbara Bucal-Glazer, ward counselor from Ward 3, Wendy Gentile, opposite side of the table, counselor from Ward 4, Victoria Danberg, counselor from Ward 6, and myself, Deb Crossley, counselor from Ward 5, and our committee clerk beside me is Nadia Khan. So, Councilor Glazer, as Vice Chair of CSNC, would you like to introduce the committee?
I would.
Someone else?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
We've got Jim Cote from Ward 3, Jay Heine from Ward 4, Lucian Fuller of Ward 7, I'm Ward 6, and Allison,
yes.
Ward 1. Okay. Right? That's it? Good. Danielle here. And what? And me.
Danielle, you're committee clerk.
Committee clerk.
Excellent. Okay. And so I'm going to introduce the first item and find out who's going to step up and present. I know we're joined by many of our uniformed police, and I'm sure we'll be introducing everyone due course. So this is item number 335-16, a request for ordinance amendments to require removal of snow from sidewalks. Councilor Danberg, requesting that, requesting that section 26-8 through 26-9 and section 20 through 21 of the City of Newton revised ordinance of 2012 be amended to establish criteria and provisions for requiring removal of snow in all districts by property owners, occupants, and property managers from sidewalks abutting their property, and to review and amend enforcement provisions, including structure of fines for snow removal violations. I know everyone saw that there's a proposed ordinance in our packet. And so, Councilor Danberg,
if
you want to
kick
this off.
Thank you. The councilors should all have received one of these in their packets. We have a few extras if someone does not have one and would like one. Speak up earlier. Okay, good. I will be brief. I'm not sure if Maureen is going to be joining us today, but we have Marie Lawler with us from the Law Department, who's been working on this for a number of years. This ordinance has been a trial now for 4 years. It's been in discussion, I would say, for maybe 22 years, maybe 25 years now. Long before I joined the board. But I heard about it, and I heard about the many groups in the city who really wanted to improve the walkability for everyone in the city. And they felt that we get a certain amount of compliance by people who do it anyway, but that last push needs to have an ordinance to back it up. So the goal is improved walkability for all. The goal is not punitive. We've been doing it for 4 years. We've now accumulated some good data that Shane Mark will talk to us about in what he has found in the time that he has done snow. And we actually, you said the last year, as not being a real snowy year, but we actually had, I think, according to Shane, what, 40 inches of snow last year?
40 inches.
Yep. So we had some decent snow. We have found that it has improved with the trial. A number of, probably a few hundred leaflets had, you know, leaflets, door
hangers,
thank you, went out, and with a request to clear. It was not a warning, it was just asking people to do their civic duty, and that request resulted in about a 40% compliance of the people who had not shoveled. And we did not, by all means, get to the whole city, but if there was a complaint on a street, that house was tagged, and the officer tagged the other houses on the street that had not complied. And so that was, we got a pretty decent look at what compliance would look like by just asking. I will leave it to Marie to go through the list of ordinance changes, and I think I'll turn it over now to, I think Marie is probably the next one that would.
As you're coming over, we've been joined by a number of other folks. Chair of Public Safety and Transportation, Jay Ciccone is here. Councilor Norton from Ward 2 is here. Somebody else can know. Pat Gosling already. John Wright is with. Oh, okay. Councilor Wright is also here. Anybody else? Okay. There's no sign-in. This is not a public hearing. So let me just understand what we're doing here. You're going to walk the room through the ordinance provisions and the proposed changes, and I imagine we're going to be hearing from the DPW and from police about operations.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so thank you.
The committee, there was a working group that met quite often, especially over the last year or so, on what they wanted to do with the sidewalk snow ordinance. And this draft that you see is really one that, for the most part, had been done last year. They didn't meet over the summer, but in the springtime. At that time, the model we see was they studied a number of different ordinances in other cities and towns, and liked this model, which broke it out basically with commercial, residential, and district, and then called out multifamilies that were greater than a certain size, and we want to call out multifamilies, four or more dwelling units, for somewhat stricter requirements than you would for single, two, and three family housing. So that's the model that you see in this particular ordinance. Just before we get into that, the last time the committee met, which was this fall, few weeks ago, I think the direction they are moving in, because what they did was, as I saw the changes that they requested, they actually made the requirements for the multifamily the same as for commercial districts. And so if that's the direction that, and policy direction that committees are going to go toward, I think we would be able to simplify the ordinance a lot from the draft you see now and just make the general rule for everyone with an exception for one three family dwellings in residential districts and make that a lesser, you know, less strict standard. But right now what they're looking at consolidated and simplified the ordinance a little bit. Prior to that, you had a section of commercial districts, the requirements for that, which was the property owner had to clear the sidewalk in the commercial business district within 24 hours, and there was a graduated set of fines, 100, 200, 300. There's always a warning option for the police before that. The change in those districts now, in that first one, is to make it clear that it's not just business districts, but it's other districts, all districts basically, except for residential, which will be captured by that. They're reducing the hours in which to clear the sidewalk from 24 to 12, that's the proposal. And they are changing the fines to a flat fine of, I think it was $100 a day.
Yes.
Yeah, $100 a day, just a flat fine, which I believe the police find easier to keep track of. When I say flat fine, $100 per day, in our general provisions in our ordinances, for all ordinances, we would include this. Every day a violation continues constitutes a separate and distinct offense.
And this is for commercial.
Yeah, this is for commercial. And I think the language, as you can see, would add mixed use, add manufacturing districts. And also, as it did before, applies to non-conforming, you know, business uses that are in residential districts, non-conforming business uses. They would have the same standard as well, even if they happen to be in a residential district. The call-out now, which I think if the team goes in that direction for multi-families, applies pretty much the same restrictions, the same requirements to multi-family dwellings, four dwellings or more. Prior to this particular draft in their last meeting, I think there was a lesser standard, it was the 12 hours.
It wasn't clear whether a 5 or 6 or 7 family or 20 family apartment building even had to clear its sidewalk and would only be subject to the same warning as a single-family home. So we clarified it.
Okay. And then in the residential districts, they will still have the only change in those for 1 to 3 families in residential districts is to reduce the time for compliance from 30 hours to 24 hours. And the fine structure would also, instead of right now, there is simply a warning. I mean, there's no monetary fine involved at all. And it would go to a $25 fine for a violation after a warning, $25 fine a day. So those are the major changes. And again, if the committee is going in the direction of treating the multifamily exactly the same as any other commercial property in a commercial district, then I think we can simplify that all together and just have the general requirements and the exception, the lesser standard for residential, 1 to 3 families in residential.
Or you might also clarify the third to the end, that there was a couple of questions that I've heard about, which is removing the requirement that the DPW or somebody else compile a list of volunteer shovelers,
yeah,
and replacing it with...
Yeah, there were a couple of... the other change the committee wanted to make was to get rid of the mandate that DPW create a list of volunteer and foresee companies or persons who would do snow shoveling. I don't think that was working well.
It didn't work well.
And what they have kept, they have kept a hardship provision for persons who show financial and health-related medical reasons why there is a hardship, and then because the mayor of the authority to grant an exemption that was last year, and also this is a new one, the compliance delay. After that horrendous winter we had 2 winters ago with the snowstorms where no one could move for days and it was just impossible to do anything, the mayor could, in consultation with the commissioner of DPW, announce a delay for compliance. So, you know, people not being able to even move out of their houses, they wouldn't still be under this strict 24-hour or 12-hour standard. So I think that hopefully we'll get another one for that bad, but
wanted to explain a little bit more about the hardship exemption and Jane Colino's role in it.
Yeah, what this hardship does, and in the, I'm looking at the clean copies just because it's easier, 26A, B, where it says hardship. It does give the mayor or its designee the authority to coordinate a volunteer or municipal snow clearing assistance for people who need it. And Jane Colino is now doing a similar thing. It's located at the senior center, where they are getting together volunteer work. I'm not sure where they get the volunteers from, but apparently that is working pretty well. Right now, as the mayor says in the end of the Curzon ordinance, he is determining whether people are eligible for a hardship. And it would be a combination of financial issues and physical issues. It has to be both, because otherwise someone who is perhaps not physically able to, but is certainly financially able to hire someone, or someone who is has financial problems but is more physically strong and fit and able to care, would not qualify for hardship.
Okay. Barbara? It's a first, the residential unit is a warning, and then the fine should in. Is that the same for commercial?
I think it is, and I think, of course, the police department, as you said, always have that that option, and that's the way it's set up in the 2021, which gives fees for lots of different ordinance violations. But under D, 2021D, you have an excerpt of that from there, is the police department, and if you can see warning is listed first for any of these. So they always have the option of doing a warning. And I think that means we'll probably encourage them to do that.
Some locations stand out as being chronic violators. And so the police have an idea of where they have to, you know, where they ought to go to check out. And that's usually on snowstorm number one. Sometimes people don't have their acts together and they haven't hired somebody quickly enough. And so they go out and they and they tell people along Needham Street, for example, there are always a bunch of violators because they don't think that those sidewalks even need to be cleared. Nobody wants to ever walk on Needham Street, which is, you know, not to be true. And so they go to the, there are a few places that I know of in the center that are chronic violators. And they go and they politely remind the people that they are required to either clear, if they haven't cleared at all, or that they must clear more than one shovel wide path on Center Street, for example, or Beacon Street. And I think they've had very good compliance. They're on rare occasions are commercial places that need applauding with a threat of a fine. But we've had pretty good compliance with commercial. And I think that on the residential, I'm going to let Sean give some of the statistics. He has the number. In fact, Jane Colino, in fact, had the number. We asked her how many people last year requested exemptions and how many exemptions were granted. There were 13 requests for exemptions and 8 were granted. And of those, when an exemption is granted, the goal, as we explained, is to get the sidewalks cleared. If we can find somebody in the neighborhood, if we can find any way that we can help that person out. Sometimes after a few days when DPW has gotten through most of the work that they have to do and somebody is in that neighborhood, DPW can go over and shovel that walk to help the person out if they have a legitimate reason and no relatives and no friends. that would be willing to help them.
Question for clarification, and then I think I'd like to hear from operations.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about doing away with, say, plowing snow routes for school children.
No.
Correct? No. So if I'm a homeowner, just to be clear, if I'm a homeowner and the city has decided that I'm on a school route, they're going to plow the sidewalk in front of me, I don't have to do it. But if I live on a different street, I have to do it or pay a fine.
That's right. Yes.
And
there are.
Can I just follow up on that? This we're going to a system where everybody has to clear the sidewalk. Just walk me through why there is the sidewalk routes anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
Because children need to be at school by whatever the time, 8 o'clock in the morning, let's say. And we give 24 hours for the snow to be cleared by residences. There are school routes that can't wait the 24 hours, and we don't want a checkerboard of some people who can clear and other places where the kids have to walk in the street. So the determination has been made to clear, I think it's 63 linear miles of sidewalks.
So can I just follow up and have a clarification on that? So is DPW committed within 24 hours of every storm to getting all the sidewalks cleared and every snow?
We'll do it now. Yeah.
We do it within any council.
Of everyone.
Of the 63.48 miles, we do it within 8 hours after the snow
cuts. No matter if school is canceled the next day or not.
We do it within 8 hours.
Okay. And it doesn't matter if the city has fixed your sidewalk or not fixed your sidewalk, if you have gravel in front of your house, or chopped up pavement, you've got to clear it.
Marie.
It only applies to paved sidewalks.
Paved sidewalks.
It doesn't say anything about the condition of the paved sidewalks, but it does not apply to
dirt paths, gravel. The city is committed.
The city is committed
to pave as much sidewalk as possible, and to get all of the sidewalks in the city that aren't paved at some point, hopefully within our lifetime.
I just want to understand what the rules are. For businesses, do we currently clear in the village centers for businesses?
No.
At all?
No. Businesses are required to find their own way to clear, and they will, that law does not change. That law is in place right now. We're leaving it alone, except that we are moving the time from giving them 24 hours to clear on commercial streets to giving them 12 hours.
One more in the clarification.
Business district.
So, Newton Center T Station, we don't do any clearing of any sidewalks whatsoever near there?
No, we do the transportation of, not the business.
Well, just to pick an example, Deluxe Diner's there, you clear the sidewalk there or not?
Just within front of the businesses. And I don't have a map in front of me, but anyone could go and check your map and your plans that were provided to the entire.
You would not clear, even though that would be a walk route to the T, you would not...
Not front of the business.
Have you cleared?
There's a separate sidewalk. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We do.
No.
The city does.
Newton Center? No. You walk the sidewalk either way to get down to the T. And I'm just, you don't
so go to the T. So I did not bring the map with me, but I will reference all the councilors back to a snow plan that we provided last year. We have 6 sidewalk routes that if you want to know what sidewalks the city plows and does not plow, you can go to those sidewalk route maps, and I'll tell you we're in the process of updating those maps. We went from 87 miles in 2014-15 winter season to 63.48 last year. We have 6 sidewalk routes, 10 machines that do it, and it takes us about 6 to 8 hours every pass to make one pass on a lot. But we also focus on state road patrol schools. So we want to provide safe routes for the kids to walk on. We vetted that through several different departments, police, CAG members, Regina as transportation director for the schools. So we had several different departments that helped us last year as we developed these snow routes. We're tweaking those maps this year. We will add some additional sidewalk areas in this year, but we also focused on transportation nodes because we're very aware that the MBTA does not have a vested interest to come here and clear any of their property. But nonetheless, our residents want it cleared because they jump on the city and they need to take the notice of transportation. So as a result of that and making our city more friendly, more walkable, we are taking care of those transportation.
I just want to understand for clarification now. So if I'm walking from like Veterans Cab, okay, and I walk past the Lux and I go down the stairs to the T, are you clearing that or not clearing that?
Down the stairs? No, we're not going in on their property. We're clearing.
Are you clearing the sidewalk?
We're clearing the sidewalk on the.
So you're clearing the sidewalk then in front of a business?
In front of the T, not the business.
I'll look at the map. I don't want to believe it.
I don't have it out there. If I had the map, I'd pull the map up. But I guarantee if the council want to go and look at the map,
I don't want to believe it.
What can
you do? Let me just say that it's not our intention to vote this out tonight. It is our intention to lay it out tonight and let everybody ask the kinds of questions you're asking. And on the 19th, we're going to actually start our meeting at the 5:58 public hearing, but then we're going to be taking this up. Okay.
Thank you. That's great. Thanks. I can answer that question. In front of the diner, the diner clears, and on either side of it, the city clears. And the stairs and the ramp are cleared by the MBTA. We do all the sidewalks.
You do the sidewalk,
then.
Not right
now.
Not in the diner.
Not in the diner.
It's on the wing from either side of the diner.
I'll look at the map. I'm not clear. Maybe not.
Can I just ask one more technical question in the report? It's saying I hate to ask this one. On the really bad winter a couple of years ago, when there was so much snow, it just kept coming and coming and coming, we had so many people who would clear their sidewalk, the plows would come by, and it would be unbelievably heavy, dense snow that we would then put on the sidewalk that was almost impossible for a human being to clear. And no matter even if you gave them 48 hours or 30, 72 hours, you almost couldn't do it. It was a winter where you particularly needed to clear the sidewalk, but it became almost impossible.
Can you answer that question in the context of what I imagine you prepared to say this evening instead of us going back and forth? I know you have some facts and figures and so forth. You can start with that.
So I just presented the fact we have 63.48 miles that we are responsible for the city, for the city sidewalks, for the plow road routes. We have six routes. We take about 6 to 8 hours per route every time we do it because we do multiple tactics just like we do with our snow plows. The tendencies to do that with, and then just to elaborate on what Council Gamber said earlier. Last year, because there's two different enforcement pieces of this. The police department are the enforcement authority for the businesses. DPW last year, because this was the fourth year of the trial, and we've never tracked it before, so DPW developed door hangers after the storm. We would go out 30 hours after the storm, and our engineering associates would be okay. They would go to face off 311 complaints. They'd go out there, and they would tag everybody that was not in compliance on the entire street. The 311s as well as anybody else not in compliance. 24 hours later, they would go back to that location and see who was compliant or not, as we had annotated in our service request, but we actually had some historical data. So roughly we did 154 violations last year, and 40% of those people 24 hours later plowed the sidewalk in front of their home after being built. So that's the information I have. Going back to Dr. Fuller's question is, God help us all if we have that same answer. If we have a winter like that, quite frankly, we're going to do everything we can within the city's powers to help everyone clear their sidewalks. Because it's a unique. Everyone knows I wasn't here that winter. That is not the norm winter. Hopefully that does not become the norm here. That is why as part of this, we have the ability to the mayor or his designee can extend those out. So if we have a back-to-back storm, have a storm, people plow, or we have a storm, and then it snows again, the mayor or his designee can extend that time frame out to allow people to get out there and plow their sidewalks and clear them and reuse those whole time before shovel.
To follow up on Ruthann's question, though, to answer it in another way, I think part of the question is, what if you have a rogue plow who doesn't follow your new rules? Because I understand you're trying to enforce your contract, and they're not supposed to be dumping on the corner. But I think we're not holding the property owner responsible for the city or the city subcontractors dumping on their sidewalks. Isn't that true?
So we train all of our plow drivers, city plow drivers, to round the corner during snow and ice. So when you take the snow and you push it around the corner, not to deposit it into the corner where the ADA curb cuts off, but to round and push it past the ADA curb cut. That said, no matter what you do, you're always going to deposit snow into the curb cut. It's just part of snow and ice. Your driveway apron or the curb cut is part of snow and ice control. What we recommend to everyone is wait until the snow has stopped and you've seen the plow come down your street before you shovel, because to your point, that's what you're going to do. You're going to get out there and shovel, the plows are going to come through, and they're not intending to do it, but it's just a natural part of it. The snow deposits off the end of the blade into the curb line. So we recommend that you wait till the plows come through and then shovel your driveway, your apron, your sidewalk afterwards.
I think it would be great if you explained what would happen if a road plow plows snow onto a sidewalk.
So there's a different ordinance for that. So if it's a city contracted plow, before we release those plows, a pair of me, Francie, and Antonella, who does plowing for us, before we release them, we go and we spot check all of out, so we make them address any issues that we feel are issues before we allow them to go home. Most of the road plow drivers aren't city forces. There are private contractors that come in and do private residences after we plow and they push it right to the street. That's quite frank. I saw it all last year because every snow, I was here 48 plus hours, every storm last year. I was here the entire length until it was done. And we caught them. I was out there watching them push it right in the street.
So we find them?
So what we do is I stopped them and I said, "Sir, ma'am, you know that's a violation of city ordinance." And I handed them a copy. "I'm going to be checking on this later. I've got your contractor's name and number, and you're going to push this back on the private property, correct?" "Yes, we will. We know how to do it," and they will do it. If not, what we do is, because the city ordinance, and I'm sorry to be winded, but this is putting it in contact for everybody, is currently the ordinance is set up that the only enforcing authority is the police department. So what we've had to do in the past is, if there is an issue where a road plow driver deposits snow where they're not supposed to on public property, then we contact police dispatch. They will go out there. They will make the attempt, usually by, and I'll let Captain Anastasia speak to this, or Lieutenant Barry, but they'll usually go knock on the homeowner's door and say, "Hey, it's evident your contractor did this. You have so many hours to get this cleaned up, or we're going to fine you." But that surface to speak of, not my OC, Director of Operations.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Emily Norton and Lenny.
I just wanted to comment. I think that we could not assume that 2 years ago was an unusual event, once in a lifetime, etc. Climate change is here. That's why we're in drought. That's why we have the one is here after the one is here after the one is here. So I think we need to assume that that is the new normal and plan accordingly. I'm not offering a plan right now. I just wanted to put that on.
And I will help you. I will respectfully disagree with you. You have to go back 5 years.
I
do. What I will say is that when the snow comes down, DPW will be responsive, and we'll get it off the streets, and off the sidewalks will respond.
You just said that's in the hallway,
yeah. We're on the city property, we're not doing that.
All right. Is that it? Yeah, thank you. Lenny?
So, on enforcement, if I'm reading this correctly, Despite what James said about helping with rogue flowers, the actual enforcement of this and the writing of tickets is strictly with the police department. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
What I would also add to that is that in our last snow meeting, when the issue of enforcement was again discussed, Marie said, if and when this becomes ordinance, the administration will find a way to enforce it.
Well, I'm just reading the ordinance that's in front of us. And the ordinance says that the city police officers shall be authorized to issue written notice of the following violations. And then it goes on to talk about commercial and residential violations. It talks about the warning. It talks about the $100 fine. It talks about the $25 fines and so on. And again, I'm asking for clarification. And I believe the law department gave the short answer of yes. Right now, the way this is written is the police department is the only department of the city that is charged with enforcing and writing warnings and fines.
That's correct.
Okay. So, since we have so many members of our police department here, and we may not have them here again, so we need to hear from one or two police officers that can tell us what they think as far as, you know, the way the enforcement is set up.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm Lieutenant Daly, the executive officer. The chief is not here, but he's here tonight. The chief would respectfully request not to be the primary enforcement of the residential aspect of this for a number of reasons. It's quite a conflict with the community engagement that he's trying to establish. We're usually at middle of the staff meeting in front of the desk. We're all assisting DPW with towing cars with trees on wires. Typically, you're going to have 10 to 12 officers out there per shift. And it'd just be difficult. If this is the way this is going to be, we'll have to do adjustments. But just the way that anybody has their driveway opened up by a private contractor, everyone's in violation of the city ordinance. They push the driveway, push it in, stuck on the sidewalk. It's just going to be a floodgate of calls. And I don't know that we're going to be able to accommodate that. We have a high enough time to keep up the commercial enforcement. We have our traffic department, like the back up there, and we're going to be able to add some to it, but to incorporate the residential on top of it, I think it's going to be problematic.
Anyone else from the police department want to weigh in?
I'm definitely in favor of the drive-thru. We currently enforce within how the department set up. Traffic officers primarily enforce the city after a storm, the business compliance, and we can't talk about the private contractors at the very corner. Because David said, a storm is an extremely busy time for us. Usually, there's no more staffing, lots of people, families. If officers have kids, so no school, so it's difficult for us to pump up our staff. To add the residential enforcement on top of this, it's going to stretch our resources. And quite frankly, I think we're not going to be able to enforce it. You know, it may take it 2 or 3 days later when we finally get someone out there to do it. And as Lieutenant said, I spoke to the chief, we're embarking on a big effort to. It's an engagement for the outreach and the police in light of all the negative stuff that's going on in the country of the police and community. And quite frankly, once somebody comes, tell them to shovel their walk. When the city might have filed and shoveled the walk 2 doors over, and threaten them with $25 fine, $100 fine, $50 fine, really is not good for police to do it. I mean, half the time for one, anyway, because you're a bad guy, to have them still tell them to shovel your walk, it's just not that work for us.
Pretty clear. So the working group, could we
just curious myself, did you talk about how do other communities do this? Who does the enforcement? I mean,
yeah.
In Boston, you get a ticket.
I had the floor and I'll give it up. I just want to make one other comment.
Sure.
James described a situation where staff is out walking around, walking up people's walks, placing door hangers, coming back a few days later. I'm willing to bet if I did a timing exercise that we could get somebody out there in a bombardier and probably clear that walk if it was that important. The amount of time that this person was out there walking around doing door hangers and doing follow-up visits. So that's the only other thing I wanted to mention.
Okay. By the way, I'm sorry, I didn't see President Lennon have joined us at some point, but I'm not sure when. Any further comments? So, how about Susan, Lucina, Allison? As far as I talk, did you have something to say?
I'm just glad to be here.
Okay. So,
Susan,
would you like to go next?
Yeah. Well, this issue, unfortunately, is going to be an interesting one to try and solve. But I was thinking about the same thing that you were, Lenny, when I heard, what did you say? Sorry,
164.
Last year,
154.
And did you cut that out in time?
No.
Because that's a lot of time, probably. I had the same thought that Lenny had about the time it takes to do that enforcement and so that's a consideration. I would love to know how much time that took. Do you have a guess? Could you figure it out?
Well, you go out 2 days after, they get all the 311 tags, so in January, so they said this one would be
That wasn't my original question, but I was curious about that because it does seem like we're spending a lot of time and money on enforcement when maybe we could put the time and money into something else, like cleaning sidewalks. I didn't expect to say that, but that's a lot of hours for enforcement. What I was thinking about during the presentation was, you know, this broken arm that I happen to have. And I was thinking, these are things that happen to people. And you may need help. You don't normally need help, but then you need help for like 4 to 6 weeks. You need help. Or maybe longer. And without anybody making lists of either volunteers or people you can pay, it feels like it's a hardship. Because I remember one year when my snowflower didn't come, and I sort of walked around the neighborhood and looked for people that were snowflowering and said, can you come and do mine? And it would be, if we're going to be enforcing this, it would be nice to have a website where, you know, 150 people can put their name on there, and you can just run down the list and call people if you need a snowflower.
Now, I think these are all very good ideas. And also, we discussed in the working group, we talked at length about people who go into the hospital, who break their leg, who break their arm, who strain their back. And these are all cases of hardship where there will be a phone number. Right now it's Dan Carino.
But it's not really hardship. I don't want to be hardship. I want to get somebody to help.
And get help. Yeah. And different communities do it in different ways. The answer to the question, somebody asked how other municipalities do it. Brookline, for example, they have all four agencies that are able to give tickets. They do police, DPW, health, and ISD. Now, in Newton, I don't think it's practical for some of those agencies to do it. Health department, for example, can't really handle all the work that they've got. ISD needs to keep up on what they're doing. The administration has said that they will work out enforcement on this. Enforcement in any cities and towns, now Brookline has had the ordinance in since 1987, they've worked out pretty much all their bugs. And one of the questions that is, I think, a good one and is always asked is, well, are we going to blanket the city and go to every single street and check out every resident? The answer to that is absolutely not. It will be, as in other communities, it will be complaint-driven. And complaint-driven means that somebody on the street wants to walk and can't walk. If there are streets where nobody complains, then those areas just won't, you know, they will be given much less attention or no attention. Because everyone has limited resources, and the resources need to be used where they need to be used. Lenny is absolutely right in saying that when there is a snowstorm, everybody already has a job to do. We're trying to make the city more walkable by getting more people to comply with doing their sidewalks. And for example, last year, every snowstorm, they picked a couple of areas of the city. They divided the city into areas. They chose a couple of areas, and that's where they concentrated their forces. And so probably a combination of these methods are what the city would wind up doing. But that they don't want to spend a lot of, and I can understand why they don't want to spend a lot of resources right now in coming up with a plan before we have an ordinance. That if and when there is an ordinance that comes into place, Maureen has said that the city will then come forward with a plan.
Let me just close the loop on what I said. I think you need to figure out how people are going to find people to help. That needs to be a plan that you have in place before I vote with it. So somebody's going to be responsible for keeping a list, and it doesn't have to be an approved list, just a list of people who can help. And the other thing is that until you settle the enforcement issue, I can't see how we should vote for this thing. The police don't want to do it, so somebody's got to.
This all needs to go back to the administration. That's why we're having this discussion today, so that we know.
And I appreciate that, and I'm happy to continue the discussion on the 19th, but I would suggest that I know that the chief of staff was part of your group, and that if there's an agreement in the working group, that we need to be hearing that directly and what it is, how that's going to work, I think. I have Ruthanne, Allison, and then Mark.
It was just said it's impossible to vote on the ordinance without understanding enforcement, which are unclear, is from the time that it's most likely in our minds that it doesn't work for them. So you have to have more in here to clarify if you have a different solution that we're unaware of. But it's also, I thought I had heard, maybe it was a year ago, that parking control officers might have been the way to do enforcement, that in the days after snow events, have them do this rather than that.
There was some talk about that. Yeah. There was a preliminary discussion with one or two of them, the head of the union, that would have to be negotiated, with the change of working conditions, and quite frankly, if you know parking control officers,
figure out what the enforcement mechanism is going to be, but it's obviously working in many other communities, because my understanding is that we're one of the few towns that doesn't have an ordinance with teeth in it. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
What does that mean? I see a list of 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts. I see a list of 10.
Well, Lenny, I'm talking about the communities that surround Newton, like in our vicinity, Greater
Boston. Well, I'm just asking for clarification. I mean, how many do have a ordinance quote with teeth in it? We should just know that. That's a fact that, you know.
There was a list that came out that was part of it and included Brookline, Cambridge, Boston, Watertown.
The towns that are closest to Newton.
Greater Boston.
Include
a number of the Greater Boston areas.
Arlington, Belmont, Boston, Brookline, Cambridge, Chelsea, Everett, Lynn, Malden, Medford, Salem, Somerville, Winthrop, and Newton, which were the towns that were both close and or similar to Newton in the number of apartments and residences that they have. And they're the list of the amount of time to clear and the fine that they have.
Okay, I'm just asking to put that because I want to put that in context that this is something that...
Does Watertown have one? Does Waltham have one? There's a lot of communities that are contiguous to Newton or close to Butters that aren't listed here. So before we say that everybody has an ordinance, I think we should just know the 371.
I agree with you. I'd like to let Alpha make her point and get clarification on that.
Yeah. My point is that many other communities have figured out a solution to this, and I'm wondering what kind of discussion there was with the working group, because enforcement is an important component. But even before that, to study the expectation that this is... what we want to have clear walkable sidewalks, and doing that education outreach is a pretty critical part of it. So people understand the rules ahead of time, and most people want to do the right thing and comply with ordinances. So there should be, I feel if it's done right, correctly, and people are aware that there's a limited amount of enforcement that you actually have to do, and I think that should be the goal of it. So I was just curious to see how some of the other communities who have enacted this, some of them for many, many years already, have handled the education, the outreach, and more specifics about the enforcement. And then before, when you were talking about when you were in Colino and getting assistance with for seniors or people that were requesting exemption for physical and financial reasons, is that a social worker who's doing that? I wasn't clear to me. You said we, and I wasn't clear. Who are the people that are actually doing that work?
Marie, I think you...
If someone's under... If Jane Colina or someone under her direction, I don't know more about it than that.
Okay.
It takes like that senior center. That's where they're
okay.
At.
And then...
I was going to be with Jane when this issue was discussed yesterday. Jane said it was her office.
Okay. And then just if I could get some more information about what kinds of education or outreach and what kinds of enforcement mechanisms other communities are doing.
That is something that next time, Maureen was not able to come here tonight, nor was Jane, that they had conflicts tonight. But at the next meeting.
Okay. And was the police weren't part of the working group?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And this is only coming up now, or is this something that we talked about?
We've had discussions now for, for 4 years on this, basically.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Mark?
So two things. One, Allison pointed out a list of materials about other cities and towns. I'd like to know a little bit more about what their policies are. They plow 62 miles of sidewalks and leave the rest to the residents. Do they expect the residents to do everything? Is it uniform for every sidewalk in the city? I think having a little more information on those would be useful for our deliberations, mm-hmm. and including the enforcement mechanisms. And second, I have to say I'm very troubled by a complaint-driven system that and the statement that we're really not going to enforce this in a lot of places, but only in the busier areas. It seems to me if we're going to put an ordinance in place, it ought to be enforced everywhere, and it ought to be uniform. And personally, I'd like some thought given to something that is not complaint-driven, because that's exactly the type of thing that pits neighbor against neighbor. I'm ticked off my neighbor next door. I don't like the way he keeps his yard or doesn't keep his yard. I'm the first one dropping a dime at him. That's probably not the behavior we want to encourage, but that's exactly what happens in this kind of situation.
You know, Mark, that's a very legitimate complaint and issue. But I don't think that there is a single city or town or community in, certainly in Massachusetts or anywhere, who has the bandwidth to be able to say that on every snowstorm they would go to every street and make sure that everybody complies. No, I don't think, you know, I think we have,
but you can't just leave it a complaint driven and say you're only going to enforce it in the busy areas. I mean, that undercuts, to me, I can't vote for an ordinance where you're telling me up front you're not going to enforce it for half the people.
Lori, would you like to respond to that?
This is just on a personal note. I live in Boston, which has the strictest standard out there, and of course it's huge. Now, I will say they have armies of people. I think it's in their inspectional services department, but they have armies of people dedicated to this. And basically, in Boston, even in residential areas, we have 3 hours to clear. Now, enforcement, even though they have, even though they have armies of people, my experience has been they do random tests. I don't know how they do it, but they do spot checking. They might have a program. So they do random spot checks in all the neighborhoods at different times. And then they do respond as well to complaints specifically. So that's the way Boston handles it. I also would note that they have a really terrific, not only on their website, but in each mailbox, I guess it's mail, there is a pamphlet that is an educational outreach and explains very clearly all the, you know, the requirements and suggestions and how to do that. They do not provide any list. You're on your own finding your own help if you want to hire someone. But the educational outreach is very good, so very clear what's required of a property owner with this pamphlet. And I think it's on their website too, although I haven't really looked. But that has been my experience. And I did get $50 tickets the first year without, because I did not pay attention and didn't realize there was an ordinance that had been passed.
Did you have a plan to send out any material or a flyer?
Yes, I flyers. I think the working group had talked about that.
Okay. Yes, there was. There was talk of the possibility of doing a 311 call there.
Like a reverse
311 to everyone in the community if and when an ordinance was passed. So that it would be on social media. They would do administration. Aaron Goldman is also involved in this and would work on the outreach. They would do a whole education and outreach program. There are also a number of organizations in the town, the Safe Routes to School, a number of organizations that are promoting walkability in the city, for whom this would be an important issue, and they will help. But it's really up to the city, the administration, to come up with its educational plan, and they have said that that they will do that.
Okay. Emily?
I'm grateful to Council members and working group for getting us this far. I'm just looking at it from vivid memories of last winter and winter before. I'm sure everyone has it in their own ward, but students walking in the streets, we ignore it. People in wheelchairs along Walnut Street because the sidewalks aren't there. So I hope we can all be in the spirit of, if we're not going to support this particular approach that we all have hit into finding it unacceptable that sidewalks are not cleared and we have a commitment to walkability. You know, and we're all sort of solution-oriented and not just putting this off year after year after year.
Thank you. And I have Jay Hines.
Yeah. One of my big issues when this ordinance came up years ago was what do you do on a corner lot, like corner of Maple and Central, for instance. A young couple bought a house there, and they did great work maintaining the yard. 2 years ago, that whole corner, and I think they paid the sidewalk, they might be handicap ramp, or not, maybe.
There is.
So, they get plowed in by the city. The city's doing a great job getting the snow, pushing it back. That corner gets plowed in, okay? and it gets high, bad snowstorm. No way that guy could get cut through that corner the whole winter. So I still have serious problems when you tell them they have to clear that with the handicap ramp now buried, so that we put new sidewalks in around the city. We've been putting a lot of new handicap ramps in, and I noticed that that's necessary too. You're supposed to maintain it in a, and this, I don't like this stuff, a non-slippery condition. What's a non-slippery condition? That's in the eye of the beholder. For one person, slippery, one person's not slippery. I have an issue in front of my house. I have huge old pine trees. In a certain part of my sidewalk, ice is up all the time. And now, for my environmental friends here, you're telling us to use sand and melting agents as necessary. You all know people that just throw tons and tons of ice melt. You know what's in ice melt? You know what's in a lot of the sand? Salt. So you're encouraging, you're telling people they have to use things that are really bad for the environment. So I don't think that's a good thing to be doing, encouraging people to do that.
Shane, could you address the issue of the city or Private Plow or whoever it is, the contractors, blocking the sidewalk?
I think maybe what the one thing that perhaps wasn't clear is finally if there is this repetitive condition, we're not going to hold the homeowner accountable for the corner. I don't think I heard you say that. I heard you say that. Okay.
There are a lot of corner lots. What good does it do to shove your sidewalk if you can't get through, you can't cross the street?
The answer to that is that anyone who does not, where the city does not tax that person, we know who the contractor is who's responsible for that corner. And if that is called in, then the contractor will be called by the DPW, told to go back and fix it. Is that not the case?
Well, but when there's a lot of snow on my street, they did a great job, and the city trucks have come through there on many occasions, and they do a great job.
The sidewalks have to be able to be shoveled out by a normal person, and if it can't, then the contractors have to come back and pull that snow back and make it possible. No person is ever going to have to be, is ever going to be fined or penalized for not being able to get through an impossible amount of snow.
Could we ask the DPW to speak to that? Because I'd love if that were the case, but I'm trying to get a handle on, I think what Jay's trying to get a handle on is where we are and why.
The DPW is the one speaking to that fact, and we'll call on whoever is going to report that and make that determination.
So, but maybe there's an issue of, I'm struggling with this question and understanding how you draw the line. How do you define an unacceptable condition?
So what I will tell you, when we went out there last year, from our engineering department, we did not look to Councilor Hardy's point on whether it was slippery or not. We looked, and if it was visually plowed or shoveled, they were good. If it wasn't, and it was tracked down snow, or if there wasn't any attempt, then we tagged them. We didn't look to try to measure whether it was slippery or...
Either
shoveled or you're not shoveled. End of story.
My neighbor walked up the street and falls, and it doesn't seem it's working. Okay, it looks okay, but I don't have cement out the old sidewalk. Yeah. You can't tell sometimes. There's black ice there.
Yeah.
My neighbor Celeste doesn't like that. You call and say, hey, you haven't put loads and loads of horrible melting agents on there to melt it down. And there are times the last couple of weeks I have not been able to melt that ice. And I have a walking route to LaSalle, and I have a walking route to the bus stop on Conrad, and a lot of people walk up to them. We have a great group of neighbors that all jump in and bring their snow blowers, and my street's pretty good usually. But, you know, the fact that you tell them they have to use melting agents, my wife will shoot you if you try to do that.
It's not a good idea.
Maybe
What I'm hearing from this, or I'm gathering from this, is that we need some clearer definitions of acceptable versus non. Maybe the language in the ordinance needs to be thought about.
Well, that will all be policy decisions that you would take, and we would certainly this language is common to many ordinances, but there are variations all over the place, so you can certainly make those policy determinations.
Okay. I have Lenny Mark Barber.
So, I already know that I'm going to be out of town on the 19th. If you do take this up again, but I wanted to just mention one other thing for you that at least give some thought to. Even the best intentioned people are going to be unable to do their sidewalk because it's either just too long, or they have a health situation, or there's some other reason, but I don't know how one's going to make the determination about their financial ability to do it, but I can tell you this. I don't know if anybody has tried to find a contractor to do snow removal at their house lately, but the fact of the matter is it's not all that easy. Most people, if they're into snow and they're into it to make money, are either working for a contractor in a city or town, or they are working privately doing larger parking lots. The way you typically get a private contractor to remove your snow is your own landscaper that you have a relationship with that you're paying during the spring, summer, and fall. And if they want to keep your business, they'll do some plowing for you. But even if you're in that situation, if you say to them, listen, how much is it going to be, you know, to plow my driveway? And oftentimes, you know, I know at my house, people can just push it forward and push it further onto my land. And that's a pretty simple thing to do. And it's not that expensive. But when you get to them about doing your own walkway or doing the sidewalk, well, now everything changes because you don't have the equipment. So it all becomes manual labor. And it is unbelievably expensive to get people, to get a contractor to sign on to doing your own private walkways and certainly the sidewalks. It gets very, very expensive. And I hope that, you know, people check into it yourself. Ask somebody to get a quote to do that. It's very expensive.
Okay. Thank you, Mark and Barbara.
So I want to pick up something that Emily said, which is, I for one completely share the belief that we ought to have safe sidewalks that we can walk on, and we ought to do everything in our power to get there. But my question for Shane is, I remember you told us just a moment ago that you plowed 63 miles of sidewalk in the city, correct?
That's correct.
Could you just refresh our collective recollections as to how many miles of sidewalk there are in the city in total?
Roughly 400.
400, okay. So we would have to do roughly about six times what we do now to do all the sidewalks in the city. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us what the cost is of doing the 63 miles of sidewalk?
Yeah, what Jay said.
You could do
just
6,300
then. About 6,300, excuse me. I'm just trying to get the statistics and we can have it later on. How's that? I'm well aware of that. I'm going to ignore that for a moment.
It's a legit point.
Could you for the 19th get us that, and then to address Jay's point, of that 400 miles, in order to create relatively safe routes, how many miles would we have to do if we're just doing one side of each street? You might do two sides of Commonwealth Avenue, for example, or two sides of Center Street, which are major routes, but you don't need to do two sides of my side street.
You do one side of some of the streets.
I'd like to know how many more machines, whatever you need.
If I may, so we had 87 with up to 63.48. in PW, it's more than willing to do whatever the legislative body decides, but it will come at a cost.
And
that's what the council has been talking about. Because in order to put, if we were to take that, because we have 10 machines now for 6 routes, if we swap that up, we're going to be coming back to council for additional machinery. We need operators for that machinery. And every operator I put into a machine is one less operator in a plow truck on the street, which means now we have to supplement them by a contractor to plow the street. So, the more sidewalk mileage we pick up from DCW, there is a chain of effect in that with associated time frames, hours to get it done, and cost as well.
But
is it possible for you to get that cost in 2 weeks?
Roughly. Doesn't have to be.
I don't know what you're wanting me to get. Do you want me to get all 400 miles? Do you want me to get 100 miles?
200 miles.
I can't come to you with cost if I don't know what the council is asking for.
For 200 miles, I think that's fine. There's a capital cost, a labor cost,
and minus whatever enforcement efforts you're making now to go and tag people and notify them about not doing things and all that. Because as the council sent out, point out the cost too.
But what we do now is relative to them. I only know this because they've just reconstructed my street. Is what we do is say, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're doing the sidewalk over, and I couldn't understand on one side, and then it was explained to me that what we try to do, if at all possible, is to make sure that there is one sidewalk on every street that is in good shape, uninterrupted, so that a person can walk on that side of the street uninterrupted. Is that not
fair?
Fine.
Okay. Thank you. Barbara and then Emily.
I wanted to thank Councilor Norton for saying what he did and having us all think about that. And as Ms. Waller said, and I grew up in New York City, which is a rather large place, and everyone shovels their sidewalks because that is just a mindset and everyone walks there. And I think we can get there with education. I think a lot of this is not so much enforcement, but getting the people of Newton to think, oh, that's what we do, that's what we do. And after a while, I think we really will be able to get there. I just had a question about liability. Is it true that if someone falls on your sidewalk, say it's icy or for whatever reason, that homeowner is responsible for that?
Yes, and that was we had talked about that, meaning that there was a social change in the old rule, and homeowners are responsible and covered through homeowners insurance.
Okay. So it includes someone.
It's a negligence standard. Negligence standard would apply to any property owner.
And then my other question was, why can't we ask people who only have gravel or grass to make a place for people to walk?
It's that it's a value judgment. We could certainly put that in an ordinance, but we thought that it would make sense to get an ordinance that we can start with. Mm-hmm. And we would limit that right now to sidewalks that are paved.
Okay, I'll put you on a couple more people. Point of clarification on the negligence piece. So this only pertains to ice and snow or debris on a sidewalk, not to the condition of the sidewalk, which is the city's
responsibility. Right. So there's an underlying sidewalk defect. That's a different story that is caused to fall. This is strictly pertaining to snow and ice.
Okay. Thanks. Emily and then Brian.
I'm just thinking about, as you think about how much the additional cost would be of clearing additional sidewalks, that I think we want to take into account the costs that are already being borne, either in time by those of us who clear our own sidewalks, or contractors that are already being paid, and so there would be a net cost. So if we were to decide that we wanted to go down the path of making a change to our residents, that we are going to charge everyone more in taxes for this service, etc., that we would also be wanting to make a full argument that this is a reduction in cost for many of you who are already paying for it yourself in terms of time or money and so forth. So just to take that into account. I don't have a way right now to top my head of how we would analyze that, but I'm sure there are some some math people in our city, maybe some of my analysts who could publish that.
Okay, thanks.
Brian? Just to follow up on what Marie said, I seem to recall in this room once hearing that different standards for homeowner liability that you can don't shovel, there's no further, there's no liability, but if you do shovel and you don't do a satisfactory job.
That was the, that was the old rule prior to the case of
2007
Papastopoulos. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that case correctly, but yeah, that rule changed. That was the old rule.
Okay.
That Massachusetts was one of the last states that had that rule, but it no longer applies.
So you
stuck to the
one. I hadn't planned on. I have Susan, but I hadn't planned on spending quite this much time. But I think we needed to get our heads around this again. It's been some time since we've done it. So
better than the good old.
No, we have quite a number of
no, I'm not going to
I'd love for Susan to have the last word unless there's something pressing that somebody feels really hasn't been covered yet.
So I have a question, and Marie, maybe you can help with this. So so enforcement might be large, cost a lot of money, a lot of time at the beginning. Does it go down over time? And Barbara pointed out that, you know, after a while, everybody expects this is what they have to do. They know it. So there'll always be new people moving into town, but can we talk to these communities and say, does the enforcement go down over time? Does compliance go up? I think that would be useful to find out.
I don't know. I wouldn't have any answer, but common sense would tell you.
But
I actually phoned a couple of towns. One of the ones that I remember talking to was the person who did snow operations in Brookline, just because they're next door. And I asked how many people, for example, in the past 3 years, I think this was last year or probably a couple of years ago now, how many people in the last 3 years, in each of the years, have asked for and gotten exemptions? And what are your qualifications for exemptions? Their qualifications for exemptions were pretty much what I got. And that is, if you qualify for fuel assistance, if you qualify for, there are a whole list of things. If you qualify for any of those things, then you probably qualify for this. It's an objective list. It's not a real subjective list. The answer to that was that in the past 3 years, there were no requests. And it's probably because of what you're alluding to, Susan, which is that things tend to work out. In the first year of anything, there's a lot of panic and a lot of fear and a lot of, oh my God, and what if I have some ice on my sidewalk and what if this and what if that. And again, the goal is to make it better. The goal is not to punish people and find little patches of ice that we can create problems over. The goal is to try and get all of the streets passable. And the amount of enforcement is probably higher. Because we've had a trial for 4 years, I'll bet a lot of people would have had an issue with this, a lot of those issues have been worked out already, and that's why, in a way, it's good to have had a number of years of trial under our belt. But I'm sure that in the early years there will be issues, and as time goes on, the number and the problematic quality of what comes up is probably going to be.
Could you call around to 3 or 4 of these communities and find out if the number of digits goes down over time?
Sure. We can do that.
Can I ask one last question? Can you give an educated guess as to what percentage of residences are shoveling their sidewalks right now?
Okay. That would probably have to be anecdotal.
Yeah, I was just wondering if 100% of the time.
Not a Hallelujah.
Okay, folks, I think this has covered this sufficiently, so we know what we're coming back with on the 19th. And of course, we're going to confirm the 19th as soon as we can. So, Jay, you're here. If you'd like to take a motion in public safety.
Motion has been made to hold. All those in favor of public safety?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27
You know, I'm completely agree about plowing the sidewalk. I just think, you know, if the city could do it, we'd be afraid to spend the money. If the city will do it,
I don't care how it gets done.
No, I completely agree.
But every other town enforces it somehow. Do they do spot and put? If one town does it like this and one town does it like that, are you going to object to this town? You wouldn't vote for it if they did it this way as opposed to that way?
What I really want to do is to spend the money and do it, because I don't think it's going to be nearly as much as it's going to be. I mean, there would be 63 lines, okay?
Yeah.
If it tripled that, 200, you think it would get paid
Okay, folks, we have several rants of locations here.
We need to ask that question, and they're going to, the question is,
All right.
We need to know what equipment is, how much
is it. Next item on the agenda, everybody ready?
Yeah,
okay.
But,
is item number 315-16, EverSource Energy and Verizon New England Incorporated petition for grant of location to relocate a pole on Lake Street. And we are joined by...
Good evening, my name is Marley Estelle, and I'm here on behalf of the EverSource Company. And I'm here on a petition that the petition is on Lake Street, on the easterly side, approximately 341 feet south of Cabot Road. We're going to install one new pole and remove one pole. This is at the request of a customer at 2083 for the Verizon.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the petitioners in Ward 2?
So I have a question. There is no driveway here. I mean, there's a driveway on one side of the house and a long driveway. Is that a shared driveway now and they don't want to share it anymore?
So I want to see the customer actually is here.
Could
you
the customer explain?
That's exactly right.
Would you like to put your name on
so I can
for the
record? Thank you.
So we have, it's a two-family house. There's a driveway on 26th side. There's a huge, disgusting gravel, mud parking area at the back. It leaves there. And we want to turn that into grass and put two smaller driveways on either side of the house. Makes it easier for us, gives more green space. This will make parking off street easier when there's a bigger paddock down the road. And all we do is to approve of them, move the phone pole that's smack in the middle of the room.
So the driveway on the 28th side will just be a driveway in front of the house. There's no way to get to the bank.
It will be on the side of the house. Do you have the plan?
No, well, I think
we have one in our packet.
I mean, I have the plan, the proposed plan for where the driveway comes. So there's a driveway currently on the side of the house that's sort of stopped.
So this is the current driveway. So we all four cars come around to back, and the proposed driveways would just stop, and the current driveway, and this we're going to turn into green space.
So there's no garage back there?
There's no garage.
Okay.
Yes. So the pole is going to be moving from Blake Street to Cabot?
No, the pole is going to be moving from there.
Okay. On Cabot now.
No, it's all on Blake Street. It's moving over on Blake Street.
It says 341. One at a time, please. I'm sorry. It says here to relocate approximately 341 feet south of Cabot Road. Am I missing
something? South of Cabot Road, but it's not near
Cabot Street.
It's not near Cabot.
Okay.
Cabot Street is over there.
Okay, fine. Oh, I see. All right. Oh, you're just moving the pole a little bit over. Is that all? Oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry. It makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Okay, Susan, are you done?
Yep.
Mark?
I'm good.
Just want to make sure that there's no reason why why moving it at 10 feet would create any problems. Is it?
She's a homeowner.
Is there any problem in moving it that 10 feet?
No, that's how we designed it at the request of the customer. 10 feet over where we put the road
back. And there's no objection to anybody else that lives next door for being here?
No. Wayne?
So it all seems fine to me. Have you submitted the plan to the building department, inspectional services for a building permit, got you okay?
We have not done that yet because if the pole is there, we can't move forward on anything. So I got one approval at the time.
Okay, but you are planning on doing that to get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tomorrow morning.
Okay. So, I guess I have no problem with this as long as it's okay with ISC as well. But I do know that it's a very, fairly narrow lot, and you're going to have now two permits on one lot and a lot more paved area, so that's going to be something they're going to be looking at.
Well, they're cutting the paved area, yeah, but that's not up for that. That's not up for audit anyway. It's
okay.
Just the whole.
I mean, the back is gravel,
yep,
and it's really mud.
Okay.
That's why I asked the question that I did, because of the two curb cuts. How is this going to be received?
It will be beneficial because the paint will be off the street and it will have safe parking. And I believe ISC would allow it because it is a hard, it's a hard to pretty much, because they're two paint off of that parking lot.
So, in the conditions that we have, is there any reference that the homeowner needs to get their building permit so it's clear to everybody? Because sometimes these things don't get passed along.
Yeah, before they get a curb cut permit from what we would ask, but say where your plan from ISD approved.
All right. I just think if we could add a condition that it requires a building permit, so there's no misunderstanding that might be helpful.
So we can add that as a condition.
That's all.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Can I open the public hearing?
Yeah. So, is there anyone here to speak for or against this petition?
I'm not
speaking for. You can speak again if you like. All right. Seeing that, I'll close the public hearing.
Okay.
And I have a motion to approve by Councilor Albright. All in favor?
Next item 316-16 National Grid, petition for grant of location on Ruane or Ruan Road. This is joined by.
My name is Dennis Regan. I'm the permit representative for National Grid, and tonight, hereby respectfully request your consent to install and maintain 110 feet north of Florence Gas Main in Ruane Road, Milton, from the existing Florence Gas Main at house number 74, easterly to house number 61 for a new gas service.
This is in Ward 3. Any comments or questions?
Pretty straightforward. No issues. Fence restoration expanded.
All right, so is there anyone here to speak for or against the petition? Seeing none, I will open, and then now I'm closing the public hearing. No further comments? Do I have a motion? Move to approve. All in favor? Thank you so much. Okay, take care of that one. Item 330-16, National Grid petition for a grant location in Levert Road. This is Southern State or what is it? Anybody know?
Hi.
Please go ahead.
National Grid hereby respectfully request your consent to install and maintain approximately 225 feet more or less of Florence Gas Main in Levert Road, Newton. From the existing Florence Gas Main at house number 87, equally to house number 73, for a new gas service.
Okay. Can
we
have a comments or questions?
Don't we have a room full of neighbors this time?
So, no comments or questions. I'll open the public hearing anymore. So, Lenny, did you have something?
Well, and I probably could have asked it on the last one. I know the answer from National Grid, but do we know if in this case, if 79 has gas?
They were notified. All the abutters were notified. When they sent out the abutters, so I don't have that information as far as that. But if the resident of 73 wanted to involve the abutters, he or she could have and split the cost of it.
Yeah. No, and I know that you have to be. I think you're not allowed to solicit business. So I know it's to you. It just seems to me that we'd be doing people a service, especially if something this clear cut. If I was notifying people, I'm sure it happened, but if someone who just went through an experience on sediments and turfing and stuff, you know, even though I know they were notified three separate times, 90% of my neighbors claim they weren't notified, okay? So it's just amazing to me. But anyway, I mean, it would just seem that if the person at 79, if we knew for sure that they were noticed of this, the same as they're going right by. So, I don't know.
Yes, do you do this in other cities and towns?
Yeah, 35 towns,
yeah. So, in other cities and towns, do you know, does the city, when a granted location is filed, does the city make an effort in any other place to notify?
No, well, we didn't notify.
I know you notified, but
we send out what they call an immediate abutters list. That's at least two houses
on the side. No, I know you do that, and I know you're required to do that. I'm just wondering if anybody in the city, your town, are more proactive in trying to.
If a customer reaches out to us and says, hey, can I ask my neighbors?
Yeah.
Now, we send them out a package that shows them how to do it, because with them, they can split the bill three or four. I brought Grant and he was four or five people. So,
I know.
But we do notify them.
Okay.
John,
What
do you think on that?
As far as requirements?
As far as, you know, us doing maybe a little bit more to notify people that this is going on in case they want to, you know, they want to get gas.
What is it? Is the matter of having a part of staff to, you know, keep up with all that? And then, are we going to be in the business of helping the gas when we get more
customers? No, I'm certainly not suggesting it to help the gas company, but I'm suggesting it because if I was living in 79 and I truly did not know this was going on, and you know, at some point I had been thinking about getting gas, or someone let me know, I might have jumped in there. It's just,
but you know,
a lot of times what happens when the work is going on, the homeowner will see it and they'll approach the contractor.
You know what? If 79 comes in later, it's actually cheaper for
79.
Yeah.
I'm working around the developer for 73 Lumber, and just to make it easier, I did approach 79, and he's not interested. I already paid the fee, so for the whole street, so everybody's welcome to connect that. Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Scott,
did you
want to
add something?
I was just going to say, but in addition to them notifying everybody, mm-hmm. we're also notifying everybody.
I don't know, Alan.
So we have to do the public hearing.
The butters is a public hearing that we're doing. You know, so they're getting, the city is actually doing some outreach, and there's nobody.
Is there anybody here? No, I was not. I think we are doing a little bit. I think the gas company here, the law is for the customer. Do you have to come into City Hall? Have the gas company here the same thing? Yeah, I was going to say, if someone had to come into City Hall and fill out an application, the City Hall could be saying, did you measure this to your neighbor, you know, whatever.
Yeah, what they were going to do, they say it's not the $2,000 connection, it's the boiler and the plumbing work, which is about 15 days, and that's where they get turned off on this.
Okay, thank you. Well, that, on that note, I will open the public hearing. See if anybody else wants to speak for or against. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Do I have a motion to approve? Okay, thank you. All in favor of Susan's motion? It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
What does 79 have now? They have oil?
Yeah, everybody's on oil. Yeah. I haven't seen any propane tanks.
Well, thank you. Sorry for your long wait this evening.
Thank you.
And next is item number 331-16, Comcast. Grant of location request to install conduit in Stein Circle.
Good evening. My name is Manuel Patel. I represent Comcast of Massachusetts. Comcast respectfully requests to place a 1x3-inch pipe starting at pole number 376 over 1 on Stein Circle, trench ingress 120 feet to existing vault on Cheyenne Path, placing a 1x3 pipe in place.
By the way, if you're going to be getting business from hanging around here, we're going to start charging you.
I thought I was going to charge you for all the time I've spent here, but that's okay.
If that woman, if you get business from that woman, it's going to be your fee.
Actually, I was helping her because there's a program that called Engines that reports poles. So as soon as the pole is placed, it goes through a whole engine process. You all know about double poles in your town. It takes about 3 months before I get notified to remove. I just gave my car to call me as soon as she sees the pole get placed so I can get off that pole immediately.
Oh,
no. That was what that conversation was about.
That was helpful. That's thank cool. you very much.
Can you have car too?
You all have my number. That's yours.
Thank you. So does anyone, I don't know what word this is in either.
Any comments, questions? This is underground conduit.
Correct.
It's probably
what's
under the sidewalk or the.
That's one of the issues that we're having out there. I'm sure you're familiar with Stein Circle. The National Grid's out there doing a lot of work, replacing a lot of great looking sidewalks. Fortunately, they're going right over where we are. And to help them support what they're doing, there's a bunch of tasks that they're in the process of doing. We have to move some stuff. Otherwise, they're just going to pave over it, damage it, and we're going to have problems with customers at a later time. So I'm trying to be proactive over there, place this pipe away from where they're going to be putting their sidewalk. This gives us connectivity into the sign, into the path. There's about 65 paths in there that are all being affected. This is kind of a proactive approach to not be damaging anything that's existing in there. That's why we want to kind of move this out of the way.
It's all underground.
Yes, it's all underground, correct.
So, can I have your card?
I'm sorry. I've been here enough times, so we've got plenty going on.
I'm
going to open and close the public hearing so no one to speak. And do I have a motion? So moved by Council Laredo. All in favor? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. I believe next is Mr.
Jagley
is going to join us for
257-16. By the way, I'm from that position. That's my cell phone.
Thank you very much.
All right. So this is the city clerk requesting that the city council officially delegate the responsibility of Prince Guenio
boundary line preambulation. And the city GIS administrator, as required by National Law, got 46 sections, states that the boundary markers of every town shall be located, the marks there on the new, the located marks on the face thereof, which bears the letter of the town within its boundary once every 5 years by at least two of the selectmen of the town or by two substitutes designated by them in writing. What you got?
This is a standard procedure that every city and town does in the Commonwealth. So you have a well-defined boundary, and you know when your corporate limits are. So we have about roughly two dozen bounds that have to be located and verify that they're in the right location and they're properly aligned with the what was originally put out as part of the city marker, city and town markers.
I don't remember doing this before.
To be honest with you, during my tenure, we've never done it.
I know.
So what's going on in 5 years?
That's fine. So we have a pretty clear
idea
that
totally
in compliance.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Who's our GIS administrator?
Doug Greenfield?
He's been there a long time now, right?
The hardest ones are the ones in the middle of the river, so you have to get a wet suit on.
I How many of these
are you in Hawaii?
They're already there. We just have to go and verify that they haven't been knocked over or they're missing. Just quick sketch here.
Can we take over a little bit of Boston while we're at this?
So walk-in is about 10 common streets that go into the both cities, so we have to verify those. Watertown is 4, Boston 7, Brookline 6, West Rochbury 3. Needham and Lovely, they're in the river, so that's when we get our Western plan.
Oh.
And then Western has 1.
Okay.
So, are we able to do all this in-house, or do we have to...
For the most part, we can do it all in-house, yeah.
Who gets the whip on?
You don't get the whip. It's just taken on the center line of the river.
Oh, okay. Oh. Whip waiters, maybe?
No. So you say mostly. What, is there some stuff that you have there?
If there's something that's totally, say it's overgrown, and you might have to get a landscaper to cut the brush, or any trees that are... overgrown in that area to verify that it's still the same.
But you don't have to get an outside survey.
No, we would do that in-house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So John, what do you do like in situations? So I live down on the Watertown line, and we've been having these discussions for years about Boyd Park, half of it's in Newton, half of it's in Watertown. How do you delete? I've been put the law department up that it kind of cuts diagonally through that park.
Yeah.
How do we mark that? Do we mark that?
Actually, the roadway, if you've noticed, California Street has that paint mark that goes diagonally. That's a corporate line because the police department has always had issues with tagging cars. So we've had that mark.
What about like, so Ryan, like, follow that diagonal line. You come up through the Stop and Shop, you'll come up through on. I'm just trying to figure out because we've had this ongoing discussion about Boyd Park. Who's responsible for what? How that works. I'm just trying to understand, you know, you can see the in the street, the diagonal line, but once it gets to the park,
up behind Lincoln Avenue.
I know where it is. Once it gets to the interior, like land like that, we'd have to survey it, and it has to be tied into at least 3 known points.
Okay.
So we would have to have 3 files in that area. Then mathematically, we'll do the calculations, then we'll do a field verification.
So, part of this process, you're going to do,
show
us the landing point, that we're not bringing.
No, we have a registered professional surveyor on board.
To see that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do some stuff in their end of the park that may be encroaching on us. So, I'm interested to see what's going on.
And so, what can you come up exactly
with? Promotion. I think you're blessed to get a thing. You're going to be designating someone from the council.
We're
going to
designate someone from the council?
If you want. I mean, I think that's probably the main language is this.
No.
You want to get a pair
of hands? No, or two subjects.
Yeah.
You
want
to?
You want to designate somebody from the
council? No, no, no. We're designating the city engineer and the guy.
Okay.
I didn't need a language thing.
But if you want to, you have to
move it. We're going to be
So, if somebody needs to approve on this, you may
do your work.
Okay. When you have a motion to approve, all in favor?
Thank you.
So why are we doing it now if we haven't done it in a while?
We're trying to get our act together. We're trying to get our act together.